Speak up. You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territory.
To Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Stolo, Catesy, Kwikwetlem, and other Coast Salish peoples. My name is Jesse, and I am joined in studio this morning by Craig. Hello, Craig.
Howdy.
How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks, Jesse.
Craig is a new volunteer here at CJSF. You sat in on a show with Magnus, I want to say, at some point earlier, or someone else?
No, it was someone else.
Maybe Pranjali or Chiara?
Yeah, I think one of them. I'm awful with remembering names.
Sure, so it's not quite your maiden voyage, as it were, but it is early on in your CJSF career. Craig's just going to hang out, get a feel for what Speak Up's like, and then maybe one day you'll be here in my chair. We got a bunch of stuff to get into today, including an interview done by another new CJSF volunteer, Ava, who interviewed local hardcore-ish punk band Brass about the band Brass and about their upcoming performance at the Sled Island Festival in Calgary, which CJSF is a sponsor for. So we'll play that. We'll play a little bit of music by Brass. We'll play a little bit of music by other artists, and we'll talk, and we'll do, you know, all the stuff we usually do here on Speak Up on Thursday. So we will get into that. But to begin with, we will play some more music. This is one of my favorite discoveries over the last couple of years, Black Belt Eagle Scout, from her stellar record, The Land, the Water, the Sky. This one is called My Blood Runs Through This Land.
We'll be right back.
Runs Through This Land by Black Belt Eagle Scout. Some heavy shoegazy folk inspired stuff. We're working through the alternate studio here this morning. Studio B, Studio A undergoes repairs, and so things are a little bit different than they usually are. And some of the faders are a little squeaky. So just bear with us if you hear anything weird. Just assume it's on purpose. Yeah, it's me, Jesse, here with Craig. And we are pretty soon going to get into the interview with Brass that I teased at the beginning of the show. But we might as well provide a little bit of context around the interview and around Brass and all these things. So, Craig, how familiar are you with the local punk scene?
Not at all.
Not at all. Great. Well, then maybe you share that in common with a listener or two. Vancouver, to provide you and listeners with a little background myself, I host another show called The Vancouver Mixtape, which is all about Vancouver's independent music scene. When we started the show about 10 years ago, we were much more focused on the punk side of things, and we've mellowed out a little bit as we've gotten older. Myself and my co-host Jamie, we still like rock music and punk music and all that, but our palettes have broadened, I guess. But Brass is a band that has been around for almost a decade, about as long as my other show, The Vancouver Mixtape, and they've just been sort of chugging away, making loud, relatively angry music. I've heard it described as music to get angry at your landlords by, which is kind of fun. And like many bands, especially punk bands, you know, you do this because either you believe in what you're singing about or you love making music, right? Like, you love the act of being in a band and making loud, heavy music, or maybe just because you like the community that comes with it. It's funny, you know, the image of punk is very aggressive and loud and angry and maybe even, like, intimidating. But I find once you sort of join the scene, once you go and take part in a show and meet people, the community is almost always very, very welcoming, and very welcoming to anyone. Anyone is welcome to come in and express their dissatisfaction with the current system, which I think more and more people can probably relate to. And I think if you're listening to CJSF, you're probably, you know, dissatisfied with the system in that you'd rather listen to our weird commercial or campus radio as opposed to a big commercial station or one of the public stations. So I think there's value for you to listen to this interview with a punk band, a local punk band, and see how, like I said, they've been plugging away for 10 years. They just got their first ever show in Toronto 10 years in, which sort of gives you a bit of an idea of the scale of the project and how long it can take and how much work it can take to get to the point that you're playing shows like on the other side of the country, never mind like being a big popular band. So I'm trying to decide. I think we're going to do interview first, and then after the interview, we'll give you an example of Brass's music. They give a lot of recommendations for bands to listen to, and so get out your notebook and note some of those down. But for now, let's get into Ava's interview with Brass, which runs about 16 minutes. So we'll do that, and then we'll come back and chat.
All right, so I'm Ava. I am here with Devin and Zach from Brass. If you guys want to introduce yourselves again.
Hey, I'm Zach. I play guitar in Brass.
And I'm Devin, and I do vocals in Brass.
Yeah. I'm here with these two. Obviously, we wish that we had everybody else here. They're in Toronto. Can you tell me anything about your upcoming shows? It seems like it's going to be a big travel week for you guys.
Yeah, we're headed to Toronto tomorrow.
Nice.
To play. Actually, I think it's the first time Brass has ever played Toronto, which is really exciting. First time we've ever played Toronto, you know, after being a band for a decade, so it only took that long.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it?
I am looking forward to it, yeah.
Point, I don't know where to point this thing. So how do you feel?
I feel excited. I feel nervous, you know. I want us to keep it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want us to put on a good show.
Sorry. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I hope you guys play an awesome show in the six. And I had a question about your guys' origins, I guess. So what drew you guys in to playing music initially? And then if you want to answer for the other three, you're welcome to.
Well, I know why Kennedy started.
Why is that?
He couldn't help it, I guess. He was born just with a song in his heart. And he singing in church and... hymnals and
he was coming up in the gospel scene.
Yeah, the gospel and Ukrainian dance, Shumka, is Edmonton. He did Ukrainian dance. Yeah,
that's awesome.
And he was an altar boy, so I think that had a big effect on his psyche, and just wanted to be in front of people. So, so he started playing bass.
You should talk on Kennedy's behalf more often.
Yeah. No, that's good.
If I had to guess how Kennedy feels, I would say that is probably how he feels.
That's a good little soundbite. How about you?
Tristan and I, we met at music school like a decade ago and started a band out of obligation.
Nice.
Nobody else would start a band with us.
Was it part of the grade?
We had to like fulfill recording like time, and so we needed like stuff to do, so we started a band, and that was like one or two bands ago, but
okay.
that's why it started.
Right, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. And so this one I'm really curious about. I was telling you that I had that Brass Sucks patch on my backpack throughout high school.
Nice.
People would come up to me like every day and be like, oh, what's your beef against trombones? And so I'm really curious. I would have to like walk them through it and explain it. Like, what's the band?
That's awesome.
But where did you guys come up for the name Brass? What was your inspiration for that one? And then little part two of that, did you have any funny... iterations of band names before that you can share?
Well, before Brass, one of those bands I was referring to, Tristan, we were in was called Goodnight Buffalo, which is a terrible name. Just an embarrassingly bad name. I'm really glad we axed that. And before that, it was a Pavilion, which was a play on Pavi, because that was the name of the school.
Okay.
That, and that one's pretty bad too.
Well, if you went there.
Yeah. In particular. I think we just wanted a badass name that was one word, and that was like the only one we could find that wasn't a band. But it turns out it was. And they started beef with us.
Really?
They did. Yeah.
Were they Vancouver? Were they?
They were a Vancouver band called The Brass, who I believe moved to like the States and started another band. Oh shit. They moved to LA and became a hardcore band. I can't remember their
name. Are they like known?
I think so.
Okay. Have you noticed, I was mentioning this earlier, there's stickers, there's another Vancouver band called Brasser.
Brasser, yeah. It's the same guys from the Brass Action.
A lot of brass names.
A lot of brass
here.
Names going on. You know what? Yeah, we were the OG.
not even close.
Yeah. You're the OG where it matters.
The OG where
which
it matters.
Which is CJSF.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So, where did you guys draw your inspiration for playing music? Like, what did you listen to growing up, and do you think that had a ton of impact on your guys' sound now?
Well, again, if I had to guess what Kennedy would say. He listened to a lot of polka growing up in the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. But, you know, like, the tuba is the main big instrument in the polka.
Well, there's brass.
There's the brass, yeah. And there's...
I knew we were drawn to him for a reason.
Yeah.
He's got those brass roots in Ukrainian polka.
Yeah, so it's really, like, because you only hit the one and it's like, boom, 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 boom. And Kennedy holds it down like a red-faced Ukrainian tuba player.
That's true, he really does.
How about you? What did you listen to growing up, and do you think that had any sway on what you like to play today?
If it had any influence on brass, it'd probably be front person stuff. So bands like At the Drive-In, because Cedric's a f***ing lunatic. And I think the dude who's lead singer of Refused.
I couldn't tell you, actually.
You know, that, like, shape a bunch of
kind of thing.
Refused, that kind of thing. I think like really like punk rock where there was... chaos on stage. That's
At the Drive-In is definitely a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, I think that's a pretty huge band for me.
And you liked
Alexis on Fire.
Oh, too. God, Alexis on Fire, yeah.
That kind of
God,
shit.
I love that band.
Yeah. You really like the, like, scrams, like, adjacent, like, not, like, screamo, but, like...
Yeah, exactly. You know, Thrice was a big one for me as a kid, and I know that's one that, like, is a pretty, like, ooh, a lot of people don't like that band, or, like, it's kind of, like, emo or whatever, but Thrice is one of, the, like, my favorite bands ever. As a singer, had a big impact on me. His, like, vocal tone and shit, I think I try to emulate it. But let me talk on behalf of Tristan.
Yeah, okay.
I know for a fact that Tristan's biggest jams, he was a big guy on ZZ Top.
That's his
big go-to. But also he's a big sucker for the desert scene, that like
the Desert Caius
and Desert Sessions and Queens of the Stone Age and like Mark Lanigan and that thing.
Release thing.
So that's Tristan's jam. Tristan's a lot of his like songwriting and guitar playing is heavily influenced by that whole desert scene.
Yeah, like stoner kind of rock. But like better. Like,
let's just talk on behalf of Kennedy and Tristan for the rest of the interview.
You can put your Kennedy and Tristan hats on.
Yeah, we'll just. And Rory's gonna go unrepresented in this interview.
Yeah, unrepresented.
Sorry, Rory.
Rory's a fisherman though, so.
Well, yeah, but the nice thing about Rory too is he's so goddamn, like, palpable and ambiguous that, like, he's everything, you know? What kind of music does Rory listen to? Yeah, he listens to music.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys just listens to anything.
Yeah, Rory just goes with the flow.
He listens to the wind. But yeah, also for me and Kennedy in seriousness, like, Queens of the Stone Age was a huge one for us as, like, kids. That kind of just... rock, but more interesting, I suppose. That kind of, you know,
rock, but more interesting.
that makes awesome. a good soundbite for them to use.
Yes, we play rock, but it's a little more interesting than that. But wait, there's more.
We mentioned earlier you guys have a ton of travel coming up, and I know that you guys went all across Canada and all across Europe. I was wondering if you guys have any favorite gigs you played or any favorite towns you've been in, Canada or Europe.
Well, I'll field the Europe side of that. You can field the Canada side of that.
Sure.
Favorite spot in Europe, hands down, is Slovenia.
Ooh.
Cool.
Slovenia fucks so hard, dude. That town ripped, or like a whole country.
What's the town you played in?
We played in several, and I'm not going to even attempt to pronounce them in front of a microphone and embarrass myself. But we played in two different cities, and both of them we, like, stayed in, like, squats. Like, just, like, weird artist hovels, like, in, like, decrepit buildings, and it was amazing. And they, like, put you up, and they party, and they, you know, whatever, and blah, 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 and it's a great community. So Slovenia and Slovakia, those, like, Eastern Europe, that was the shit. That was the absolute shit. And the gigs were great, and everybody was just really happy to see you, and that was nice. That's
they
really
probably sick. Liked the punk, the heavy rock and shit over there. Yeah.
It was weird, too, because you come into these towns, and you're like, well, this looks like a sleepy European town, and this gig's going to be a total bust. And then, like, weirdos just start coming out of the woodwork, and all of a sudden it's a packed gig in, like, you know, the woods in Slovenia, and you're like, this rips.
that sounds like a dream.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to Slovenia next time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's
good.
I wish I could. I can remember, kind of, it's like Irska Bitriska or something like that. That's like the capital. It's like two words. I don't know. It was awesome. It was awesome.
That's like, how about Canada?
Canada. Well, with. I've played a lot of Canadian shows with my old band, or still existing, but predating this band Dead Fibers, which applies to Kennedy as well, because he was also in that band. But with Brass, I've only played Vancouver, Calgary, that was fun.
Sounds like there was some kind of hijinks in Calgary.
We just played probably the worst show.
Maybe the worst show, or maybe the most embarrassed I've ever been on stage.
It was maybe the worst show that's ever happened in Calgary.
Yeah.
No, probably not.
I get bugged about it still when I come to Calgary, unrelated to music. Just that people show up and they're like, oh, yeah, heard about that show.
Well, you know, you guys are about to have another shot at Calgary.
We're having another shot at Calgary. Yeah, we're going to
line it back in.
Where is it? It's a pin bar?
Pin bar.
Wait, I've never played pin bar. Oh, sorry, but I cut you off. What's your favorite Canadian?
Yeah.
Canadian city? Oh, like, well, I'm from Edmonton, you know, gotta love it, but... No, I like, I'll go with Winnipeg.
Oh,
Winnipeg.
Well, coming out of left field there, I wouldn't have thought.
No, absolute left field. Nice work, buddy.
Winnipeg, yeah.
Put them on their toes. Because
Winnipeg is Edmonton's unofficial but spiritual sister city. Because it's in the middle of nowhere, and it's
windy and flat and cold, and nobody gives a shit that you're out there freezing out in the cold.
That's why you both have rabid hockey fans.
Yeah, that's why people are rabid about everything, but they're also rabid about supporting and uplifting their community.
Well, you know what the root word of Winnipeg is?
What?
Win. So,
but no, but they like, there's just like good people out there, and like they're both places that like the music industry or whatever like skips over. So like, I've always found those people incredibly welcoming. It's like a similar kind of community to what I was used to in Edmonton. Like, you know.
Good answer, buddy.
Yeah, Winnipeg's
that's a really good answer.
Yeah, Winnipeg's awesome. So shout out to Winnipeg.
To the the Peggers?
The Peggers.
Shout out to the Peggers.
So I saw in you guys' interview with the Vancouver Guardian that your current favorite local band was Stutter. I saw them at the Cambie a couple months ago. I thought they put on a great show. I was wondering if there's any other local bands that you guys have your eyes on right now.
That's a good question, because who are we going to, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a lot of pressure.
Whose tires do I want to pump?
Yeah, who do we want to elevate?
No, there's so many good bands right now. You know what I will say? This is a scene I don't really, like, dabble in much, but the, like, death metal scene. I went to a death metal show the other day, and I saw Scalding and Witch of the Waste.
Okay.
And both were incredible, and I like got me feeling some sort of feelings, and I was like, do I love death metal? Like, holy shit. Or it was at Antisocial.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was so good.
Skate? Like the
Scalding and Witch of the Waste.
The Antisocial Skate?
Yeah, like in the skate shop. They just clear up the shop and they play, and it was like, man, both those bands were so tight, and I was like, I gotta go to more death metal shows.
Yeah.
Because those bands are it.
I don't think I've ever seen death metal.
Me neither. From the same boat.
I think live, it's like, it's a whole other vibe, right? It's just this wall of noise and these like awesome chord changes and just like, it's just great.
Punishing, pummeling.
It's pummeling, but it's like mostly like death metal's like distorted, like heavier shoegaze.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like it's just, once you fall into the soup of it, you're like, yeah, this is amazing. Anyways, yeah, so I'm gonna shout out those two bands.
That's sick. Do you have any specific, or do you want to bend like onto his?
There's like also like all those kids like that, like Sterling that put on that show that we played at the Astoria. Like all those kids that are doing like the kind of like noise adjacent kind of shit.
Yeah.
Those guys are awesome. And there's that one kid that always wears those like speed glasses that is like nuts on the drums that we played with at Red Gate.
Probably because of the glasses.
It's probably because of the glasses. He always wears like a Guy Fieri shirt with flames. He looks like he's like 16 years old and he's like a crazy drummer.
You can see this.
Or go to the Black. Last time I was at the Black Lab, I went to see a Pier band
what?
And there was just like the
that's a
craziest shit I ever seen at that show.
That's a good answer, because you'd be like, what's a good local band? But it's like, if you want to go see a good local show, just go to a venue.
Yeah.
Black Lab, Red Gate, Green Auto, basically all the venues that start with a color.
Any venue that's like borderline illegal, like there's probably something.
Yeah,
like
you go to those
cool
on the weekend happening. And you're gonna find a good venue.
Yeah, yeah,
guaranteed.
That's sick. Thank you guys for those recommendations. I'm going to make a new playlist off of those. So I was just wondering, so aside from Sled, what's next for you guys? Are you working on anything exciting that you can tell us about? Or?
Well, if I can speak on behalf of Zach,
who's
right beside me.
Yes.
He's moving to Nelson.
Oh.
Nelson, British Columbia pretty soon.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Nelson adjacent. Winlaw.
So before that happens, I know we're
getting married too.
Oh, you're getting married.
Congratulations.
Shout out my fiance, Kiana.
Shout out to Kiana. But anyways, which gives us a couple months to play a handful of shows here. I think we're doing Sled, North by Northeast, and Turbo Fest, which is on Gibson's adjacent. But we have a bunch of new songs written, so another EP or another record is right around the corner, I'm sure. Yeah, just a couple shows this summer and a couple songs ready to go in the chamber, and we'll see what happens here, bud.
Yeah, we got some material on the way, though. It's going to be a little while. I'm moving, so it's going to be a little bit, like, you know, figuring that out. But
Zach may have been the last person to join the band, but he's become so pivotal that we're at a screeching halt when he leaves.
Oh, okay. Well,
shucks.
I mean, I know that's not the first time that's happened. You were in Australia for a while, right?
That's true. I was, like,
there
5 months or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you've
done your research,
you can do
I see. Hey, this is, like, Nardwar.
Well, fantastic. I mean, I'm no Nardwar, but I think that that just about wraps it up. Is there anything else coming up that you guys want to talk about that you haven't talked about yet?
The United States government is really close to officially disclosing that aliens are a real phenomena. There's a whistleblower presenting information to Congress right now. His name is David Grush. I will not be silenced! That is true, yeah.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
really? I'm going to look that up.
David Grush, look him up. He actually presented information to Congress, and the Inspector General said this is very credible and worth investigating.
That's true.
So it's going to be a thing.
All right, you heard it here, folks. You know, read a good book, eat an apple a day, and be good to all people of creeds and nations. Let's go. Woo!
Woo!
Fantastic. Here.
Thank you.
I can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered in my first time. Because to me, there's no one's happening. I'm looking for you.